As I mentioned earlier, my name is Pastor Cal, the associate pastor here at the church, and it's good to be with you today. Who likes going for boat rides? Yeah, boat rides are fun. And there's lots of different types of boat rides you can do, right? You can go, you know, from a rowboat, canoe, kayak type of thing. You can go to a fishing boat. You can get on a speedboat. That's kind of when we think about boating, especially around here, getting out in the lake. A lot of times people are thinking about getting a speedboat and, you know, going behind a speedboat and skiing. There's a sailboating. Has anyone done sailboating? That sounds like a lot of fun to me. I've never done that, but I think that would be a lot of fun. Then there's yachts for all the wealthy people. Ferries. I used to live on the island, did a lot of that. There's cruise ships, right? There's a lot of different ways to go on a boating trip. And now, not all boating trips go as planned, though. Sometimes they don't go so well. I saw a video, and maybe you've seen this on YouTube. It was on a news channel, I think. And it has a group of people in a boat, and you see the camera looking back at them, and so it's at the front, and they're driving really fast. It's a speedboat, and they're driving really fast, and all of a sudden they hit some kind of a wake or something, and the boat just starts going like crazy, and you see the driver literally, he all of a sudden just flies out of the picture to the ground, and everybody's kind of flying around the boat until the boat stops, and it was really bad. Actually, that guy I heard that fell, the driver, he actually cracked a vertebrae in his back and his neck. So like, not all boating trips go well. It sounds like fun until something goes wrong, right? And then you can go boating, you can get seasick. Anyone ever got seasick before? Yeah. Yeah, I remember Truman's story about getting seasick. We're not going to go into details about that one. That was bad. But there, you know, you get seasick. I remember actually Christy and I on our honeymoon, we went on a cruise ship and did a short little cruise. And there was one night when the waves were rolling like big time. And you know, it's one of those times where you're looking out the window and all you see is sky one moment. And then all you see is water the next moment. And then all you see is sky. And you know what I'm talking about? Chrissy got quite sick during that time. And then the next day, I remember we got to a port and you get on land and you're still kind of doing one of these because it just feels like you're still rolling with the waves, right? So, and I can't imagine what it would have been like on that rolling waves in a small craft, like a big ship, that was okay. But on a small ship, that would have been terrifying, I think. You know, and I think of, again, when I think of things that don't go right, we can think of, there's plenty of stories that we would know. An obvious one would be the Titanic, right? We all know the story of the Titanic, you know, this biggest ship. Now, it's unsinkable, and yet it hit a iceberg and sank. There's other stories where things go wrong. There's story of Robinson Crusoe, if you know that story. You know, he gets stranded on an island. Or I remember in junior high, I had to read a book called Lord of the Flies. Anybody know that book, right? They're stranded, a bunch of boys stranded on an island. And then, of course, there's the all-famous one from when I was a kid called Gilligan's Island. See if this brings back some memories.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
Come on, sing it if you know it.
Started from this tropic port
aboard this tiny ship.
The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. 5 passengers set sail that day for
a three-hour tour.
The weather started getting rough, the tiny ship was tossing. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost.
The minnow would be lost.
The ship's aground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle.
With Gilligan, the skipper too. The millionaire and his wife. The movie star,
the professor
and Mary Ann. Okay, who remembers that? Okay, that's a blast from the past. Now, I'm just curious, who under 30 even knows what that is? There's a few of you? Yeah, okay, you know what that is, okay. I grew up, it's kind of like my generation's Lost, but a whole lot tackier and not as interesting. Anyhow, there's, you know, so then there's stories in the Bible that also talk about boat trips and how boat trips don't always go well. Give me one. Come on, I know what the first one you're all thinking of. A boat trip that doesn't go well is? Jonah, the story of Jonah, right? He's a big storm and he gets tossed overboard and gets swallowed by a fish, right? Another one in the scripture is the story of Paul. When Paul is on his way to Rome and they get in a big storm and it's shipwrecked and the whole crew survives, but they're shipwrecked on an island. And then the one we're going to talk about today is the story of Jesus and the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. So we're going to read that story right now. So if you want to follow along, it's found in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. It will be on the screen, but you can, if you want to read it in your Bible as well. There's also two other accounts of this story in Scripture found in Luke chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 8, but for now, we're going to use Mark chapter 4. Here it goes. I want you to picture this as we're reading this. Picture in your mind the scene going on. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care? We're going to drown." Then Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified and they said, "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." It's quite an interesting story, you know, and we can just take it as that, but I want us to go kind of deeper in and look at how the story plays out and how the deeper sides of what the story is. Obviously, it's a real simple story. You know, they get in a boat, Jesus and the disciples, there's a storm. They're afraid. They wake Jesus up. He calms the storm, says, "Where's your faith?" And they go like, "Who is this guy?" So let's start right from the beginning. Right from the beginning, Jesus says, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So the disciples did as he said. Why would this happen? Because they were his disciples. They were following their master. Earlier on in the Gospels, Jesus had called out to them. He said, "Come, follow me." And so this was just another one of the actions of them following Jesus, following along on this trip. Hey, and it seemed like a pretty easy one, because when you think about before, when they left, they left everything to follow Jesus. They left their careers, they left family and friends behind to follow Jesus. So this part of the story is pretty easy. Come follow me on a boat trip. Yeah, okay, we can do that. That's pretty easy. So they thought. And we have to remember for our story as well, Jesus calls us to follow him. And so I'm asking us today, are we following Jesus? Sometimes it may feel hard, sometimes it may feel simple. At this point for the disciples, it felt pretty simple. We're going to go for a boat trip, no problem. And so here we are in the story. Like any good disciples, they're following their masters for a boat ride. Everything seems simple, traveling from one place to another place. But even though these disciples had left everything to follow Jesus, they had no idea what they were getting into. Not a clue. It's important to remember this part of the story. They're following Jesus on the journey. They're not going out on their own, doing their own thing. They're following Jesus on this journey. So let's keep going. So then, as they're following Jesus, they get into the boat. They start going across the sea. As they're going, all of a sudden, a furious storm arises. And the disciples are afraid for their lives. Even those who are very well acquainted with sailing, they had fishermen on board. Ever had a moment when you were terrified? When you were scared for your life? I'm sure different people could tell different stories. I remember, now, I can't quite remember something for me, but I remember something for my wife. I remember one time we were on a trip to Indonesia, and we had kind of been together, but then I was staying behind and she was heading home for a while with the kids. So she tells me this story about they're on this plane. Now, who hates flying? Is there a few of you? Yeah. You would have hated this trip because they're flying and all of a sudden terrible, terrible turbulence is happening. So bad, people are getting sick. It's getting really bad. People are jumping around. They're all bolted in. And they're trying to land in Tokyo. However, there was cloud cover. And so they're going through all this turbulence and people are sick and crying. And they come out of the clouds and the runway is right there, right in front of them, to the point where the pilot quickly touched down and went up again. They had missed shot on their approach. And so they had to go for another numerous times over top of trying to find a place and time where they can settle. It was so bad. And Chrissy knew it was bad when this happened. So she's sitting a couple seats away from the stewardess. And as you know, the stewardesses are facing you, right, in their seats. And the stewardess has a death grip on her chair and tears coming down her face. You know when someone who's a professional who does this kind of thing for the living is crying, you know this is not a good sign, right? This is the same situation that we find here with the disciples in the boat. They are afraid for their lives. Even fishermen are afraid. When the fishermen are afraid of a storm on the sea, you know it's got to be a bad storm. It's to a point where the disciples, they do not know what to do. And they think they're going to die. You know, sometimes following Jesus can lead you into a storm. Just be aware of that. It's not all roses. Sometimes Jesus actually leads you into a storm. But you have to understand, following Jesus is the best path to take. It isn't easy, but it's the best path. So now we come to the odd part of the story. So there's a crazy storm happening. They're in the boat together. You know, they're afraid. It's so bad. Even the sailors think we're about to die. And during the storm, Jesus is in the back of the boat sleeping. He's sleeping. Everything else is getting tossed to and fro. They're afraid for their lives. They're trying to do whatever they can to survive. And Jesus is sleeping. Now, I know of some people who are deep sleepers, but this is kind of on the extreme, don't you think? Like everybody else thinks you're about to die and you're just sleeping. Now, I guess kind of Jasmine, our daughter, could have been like that on the flight because I think she slept through that whole thing, that the ordeal that they were going through. But, you know, what we have to understand is people who sleep deeply and peacefully, there's usually a reason why they can sleep peacefully. You know, if you're agitated, if you're worried, if you're anxious, it's hard to get a good sleep, right? You know what I'm saying? Anybody know what I'm saying there, right? When you're agitated, you're worried, you're frustrated, you got things going on in your mind, it's hard to get a good sleep. But someone who's at peace in their mind can often get, I'm not saying that if you have trouble sleeping, everything's bad, but I'm just saying people who are totally at peace in their mind, they can actually typically have a really good sleep. That says something about Jesus. Remember this part. That says something about Jesus. You know, the atmosphere that we find Jesus, a huge storm is happening, yet with the waves raging all around, he is at peace sleeping in the boat. So again, the disciples, they're beside themselves. They don't know what to do. And each of the gospels has them coming to Jesus, waking him up and saying something a little different. Here's some of the words they say in Mark. They say, they wake Jesus up and they seem angry with him. They say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care we're about to die here?" In the Luke account, it almost sounds like they're hopeless. It says this, they have this words, "Master, we're going to drown." And then in the Matthew account, it says it this way, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." They're calling out for help. Now, just a quick side note on scripture. Sometimes people will use these scriptures and say, oh, that just shows you that the Bible is unreliable because we have three different words that they're saying. You can't trust it because it doesn't compute, right? Like you can't say three things. It was either one or the other, right? But what you have to understand with scripture, the scripture is inspired. It's the inspired word of God. It is not the dictated word of God. Do you understand what I mean by that? It's inspired. God uses people and who they are and their personalities and their witness accounts to write scripture. It wasn't dictated and they just wrote down what God dictated. And so that's why we can have three different accounts of what was recorded as what was being said, because they're witness accounts. If you go to any court system and witnesses tell a story, you know there's a problem if they give the exact same account, because then it's colluded. But if they're just giving the same story but told with different words, that's how they know, okay, there's some legitimacy to this account. And that's what we see here in this story. We see three different things being said. What was really said? We don't know. But what was really heard? What was the message that came across? It was the same message. They were fearful for their lives. So no matter what the actual words were, we know the situation was very desperate. They didn't see a way out. So I ask you today, where are you? Are you in the midst of a storm? Have you ever been in a storm that was so furious that it made you afraid? Have you ever been to a place that seemed hopeless? Have you ever been at a loss for what to do? Have you ever been in such a desperate place and wondered why Jesus seemed to be sleeping on the job? Have you ever wondered if Jesus cared about your stormy situation? Have you ever cried out, Lord, save me? I'm sure we can all think of times probably very similar to that, where we've called out to the Lord, where we have had confusion of what was going on. Each one of us has faced something different, and maybe you're facing something now, different types of storms. It could be health issues. It could be financial shortage. It could be marriage issues you're struggling with, family relationships, relational conflict, personal inner conflict, failures, addictions, sinful activities, low self-esteem, anxiety, emotional pain, physical pain, doubts, etc., etc., etc. What is your storm? Your storm may feel impossible to survive, but I want to encourage you, there is hope. There is hope. And we'll see that as we continue through the story. So what happens next is amazing. So they've woken Jesus up. They say, hey, don't you care? We're about to die here. What's going on? So Jesus gets up. And then he speaks to the wind and waves, and he says, silence, be still. Some different translations, it'll say, quiet, be still, or peace, be still. And at the command of his words, the storm stops immediately. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in that situation? You're in a boat with all your friends, and yeah, your boss is there, and he's a pretty holy guy, and all of a sudden you're in this place of incredible torment, and you don't know what's going to happen. All of a sudden he gets up, he says, "Yeah, okay, you can stop now." And all is like, can you imagine what that would have been like to be in that situation? That would have been amazing and crazy at the same time. This is what happens. I don't know about you, but every now and then I will go on YouTube and watch these videos called People Are Awesome. Anybody ever see those videos, People Are Awesome? And it has all these people doing incredible stunts, really cool things, and they're really fun to watch. But what you have to understand, this wasn't a stunt. This is a whole lot bigger. This is a whole other planet away from a great, cool stunt. Jesus calms a storm. You see, the disciples, they had seen Jesus do some miraculous things before. They had seen him do some miracles, do some healings, but this was on a whole different level. He's controlling the weather. Isn't that amazing? Like, think about it. This is what Jesus does, and the disciples are right there to witness it. After Jesus calms the storm, everybody's probably in a stunned moment there. And Jesus asked them, why are you so afraid?
Do you still not have faith?
Why were they afraid? And here's the key. Why were they afraid? The answer seems pretty obvious. There was a deadly storm that they could be killed by. But wait, that's not the full picture. Here's the question. They're in the boat, but who else was in the boat? Jesus. Who is in the boat is the key question to the whole story. Jesus, God incarnate, was in their boats. Oh, but he was sleeping. Surely that was a problem. He wasn't really doing anything about the deadly storm at that time. Yes, but he was sleeping what? Peacefully. Maybe there was a reason he was sleeping peacefully. The question again is, who was in the boat? The question for us is, who is in your boat? Let's look for a moment at some scriptures that describe who Jesus is. John chapter 1 says these words. Chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." This is talking about Jesus. So who was the Word? Jesus. Who was there at the beginning? Jesus. Verse 3 says, "Through him all things were made." Who made all things? Jesus. Verse 4 says, "In him was life." Who is in charge of all life? Jesus. Verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." Who was not recognized as the creator of the world? Jesus. Who was in the boat and wasn't recognized? Jesus. Who is in your boat? And do you recognize him is the question. You see, the problem that the disciples had wasn't that there was a storm. The problem was they didn't recognize who was in the boat with them. If the creator of the universe, the giver of life, the one who controls the weather is in your boat, then you don't have a reason to be afraid. It doesn't matter if he's sleeping. He's quite confident and confident on his own when he's sleeping included. Do you think something would have happened to him while he was sleeping, if he never would have woken up? Yeah, some people might say, well, maybe the boat would have broken up and he would have just been sleeping on the water. He did walk on the water, so maybe he could sleep on the water. I think Jesus cares enough about who is in the boat to make sure he was in control of all those things. Either he is in control or we need to find someone else to follow. So Jesus asked them, Where's your faith? Now, it's not that they didn't have faith. They had faith, but it was way too small. So let's go through this story. Okay, they follow Jesus because he says, let's go across the water. They follow Jesus into the boat. It's a small boat. They get going. There's a storm that arises. You know, they think they're going to die. It's crazy. But Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. They will go and wake him up and say, Jesus, don't you care? We're about to die. And Jesus gets up and he says, peace, be still, and the storm stops. Just with a vocal command, the storm stops. And then it says, and I'm just going to give you the Luke version, it says this, "In fear and amazement, they asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the water obey him.'" His best friends are asking the question, who is this? You see, we see here why the disciples were so afraid. It's easy. They knew Jesus, and they knew he was in the boat with them, but their view of him was way too small. Who really is this guy? It amazed them because, wow, he can control the weather. That's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing. It also terrified them, because this is well beyond their expectations of what he could do. You see, it goes even deeper when you think about the time and how they viewed the weather. See, in those times, in those ancient times, they viewed weather as controlled by the gods. So there were, you know, other cultures. They had gods of the wind and gods of the water and gods of the storm and stuff like that. And they would have known all about that. And Jesus, all of a sudden, is controlling the gods. He's not only controlling the weather, he's in control of everything. So here we see Jesus taking command over the gods of the wind and the water. He is the Lord of lords. This friend of theirs was more powerful than the gods. They now realized more than ever before that they were in the presence of someone incredibly special, way more than they had realized before. So what do we do with this story? What's the take home? First of all, sometimes life feels like a storm, like a huge one. It's rough, it makes you ill, scares you, you don't know what to do. And some of you are in that place even right now. On a little side note, I've really been feeling over the last while in our church, we've been going through some real spiritual attack. I know of many situations in which people are feeling like pressured, and there's a lot of personal issues that are coming against people. And sometimes it might be a personal, just mental health issue. Sometimes it's finances, not having a job. Sometimes it's relational struggles people are having. There's all kinds of things that are happening today. And you know, each one of you know what the storm is in your life. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about the storms of life. You're feeling it right now. I feel like the waves are crashing over me. Sometimes we feel like right in the midst of the storm, and maybe that's right now, today. Again, I want to ask you the question, who's in your boat? Do you know him? Do you follow him? Do you trust him? You see, the key for us when we're in the middle of the storm is knowing that God is with us. That is the key. It's not just what he can do for us. It's that he is with us in the midst of the storm. Kyla, last week, she had read Psalm 23. And there's a verse in there that I love, and I've probably prayed it over a number of you. It says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Oh, that's such good news. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I can be in the midst of the storm, and yet he is with me. I don't have to be afraid. And I know we're human. I know our emotions get caught up. So it's not a, you shouldn't ever be afraid. I get that. We do get afraid. But what we need to do is when those moments when we are afraid, look up. Look to him and see him as bigger than you can imagine. See him as bigger than your storm. See him as the one that can control the storm. If you understand who's in the boat with you, it makes all the difference. Do you see Jesus for who he really is? Do you see him bigger and more amazing than you've ever seen him before? Are you amazed and maybe even a little bit terrified at his power and his glory? You see, he's not just a friend that's hanging out with us in the boat. He's the Lord Almighty in the boat. Do you recognize him today? If you don't recognize him today, maybe that's the first step. And my encouragement to you, if you don't know Jesus, you're not in that relationship with Jesus, get in the boat with him, okay? I just want to encourage you, get in with the boat. There's so much peace to be had when you're in the boat with Jesus. Build a relationship with him. Follow him. Follow him, because even when you're in the midst of the storm, when he's with you, you're still okay. There's no safer place to be than right in the middle of his presence. In the midst of your storm, Jesus wants to speak to us today. Peace.
peace. He wants to speak to your soul today. Peace. Receive it today. Peace. The peace of God is here today. Not because I say it, it just is. If we would receive it, He is so good. Let's let our eyes, our spiritual eyes, widen and see Him bigger and bigger and way bigger than we've ever seen Him before. The point of the story wasn't for Jesus to stop the storm. Remember, He was the one that led them into the storm, and He was the one sleeping through the storm. The point is that their eyes would be open to seeing Him in such a bigger way. When you're in the storm, I want to encourage you to realize who is with you. Look to Him. Call out to Him. Bring your requests to Him. Put your trust in Him. Again, the question is, where's your faith? Take a look. Who's in your boat? Who's in your boat today? Would you all stand with me? And we're going to open up a time for prayer. And I just want to encourage, if you want prayer, now, you don't even have to come up for prayer. You can stay in your seat and pray and just talk to God yourself. You don't have to come up. But if you want the support of others praying for you and with you, I want to encourage you to come on up and be prayed for. Let us wrap our arms around each other and help each other. You know, what is an example of Scripture that calls us? It calls us the body of Christ, right? Now, if you have a sore part of your body, so if you have a sore foot, what does the rest of your body do? It compensates for it. In the church, that's what we're meant to do. When one part of the body is hurting, we compensate, we help out with that other part of the body. That's why we have times of prayer like this, because we believe that we work in partnership with God to encourage and to help and bless people. So today, if you are in the midst of a storm, again, if you want to come up, that's fine. If you want to stay in your spot, that's fine. But I encourage you to make this prayer. God, help me to see You larger than You are. Larger than I see You right now. Maybe that's a better word to say. Help me to see You bigger than what I see now. Open my eyes to see that You're greater than my problem. Open my eyes to see that You are so much more than I could ever imagine. And I submit to You, however You want to work in my life. So, Father, this morning, I thank You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness to us. And this morning, we want to come before You. Lord, different ones of us are going through different storms, even right now. I even think of my own bit of a storm right now with health within my dad. And the issues of dementia that we're, as a family, trying to deal with and figure out. How do we work through this? And Lord, each one of us probably has different situations like that. We're just trying to figure out, Lord, I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm in this storm and I don't know what to do. I know You're here in the boat, but it feels like You're sleeping. Lord, may we see You sleeping peacefully. May we call out to You and say, God, Jesus, help me. Save me. I know You're in the boat, and maybe I don't see You big enough as I should, so help me. Help my eyes to be open. Help my spirit to be open to seeing You in a bigger way. And Lord, I pray that we together as the church, as Your body, we would care for one another. Lord, that You would draw us to our knees to pray and encourage and bless and help each other for whatever the storms are that we're facing. So we give You our hearts. We give You our lives. We ask You to open our eyes to see. Amen. So we're going to open up the altars at this time. Just encourage you to come on down. We're going to pray over you, pray with you, encourage you. Again, if you just want to take some time just to spend, I'd ask for this first song. Don't anybody leave. Like, spend some time and just yourself pray and ask God, God, open my eyes to see you. And then once this first song is done, you're free. You'll be free. I'll dismiss you. But I just encourage you again, you can stand, you can sit, come up for prayer, whatever. And just let's open our eyes and say, God, help us to see you in a bigger way. Amen.